Father, I just pray, let me decrease that you may increase, Lord. I don't want to give anything of myself, Lord, just what you would have us share, Lord. Father, I thank you, the Spirit of Sovereign Lords upon me, because you have anointed us, Lord. And Lord, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, God. Open the eyes of our understanding, Lord. Let the Spirit of the Lord be upon us, in us, and around us. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. It says in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 12, verse 1, therefore also we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Amen. So, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. You know, God's watching. It was surrounded by angels, myriads of them. Also surrounded by evil spirits, myriads of them, who are always trying to trip you up, who are always trying to lead you astray, put thoughts in your mind, put all kinds of stuff in you. But you know, it's like we have this realm where we are now. We have the demonic realm, or the second heaven, the spirit world, and then we have God's world on top of that, God's heaven on top of that. So it's like us watching you. So like the demons and the angels are watching, but then there's the other realm where the demons kind of go into, and what they don't realize is there's big angels watching them. So they kind of, you know what I mean, they kind of enter into that. But the angels of God, and obviously God the Holy Spirit and everything else, is transcending all of them, you know, all of the realms. And so what I want to say to you, there's never a moment on earth when you're alone. Now you may think you're by yourself, nobody's seeing you, but you know what I mean, it's like you're not, you're getting away with now. So this is the conclusion that right, so when you think you're up to no good or whatever, I'm not saying that you are, like, but and you think there's anybody watching, you are. The demons are watching you, they're clapping their hands and shouting and jumping for joy. And the angels are there just to make sure the demons didn't go too far. And that, you know, and they didn't even realise they're getting watched and all, you know. And that, you know. But what I want to say is that God is watching over you and he loves you. You see, I'm going to read from the book of Kings, 2 Kings. And I want to read this because this is really important. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware, you do not pass in this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants to them, saying, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? So there has the king of Syria plotting against Israel, and somebody's grassing him up. Somebody's telling him and giving away his plans to Israel. So he's now thinking that somebody within my own court is grassing me up to the Israelites, okay? That's in the Geordie translation, right? I'm reading in the King James, but translating the Geordie translation, right? And one of his servants said, none of them, Lord, my Lord, but Elisha the prophet, who was in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom, right? So he said, go and see where he is, that I may ascend and get him. And it was said to him, surely he is in Dothan. Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. So, you know, this is the respect. He didn't just send a couple of people. He sent his whole army there to arrest Elijah and get Elisha, you know. So, therefore, he sent horses and chariots, a great army there, and he came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God rose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the whole city with horses and chariots. And a servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered and said, "Do not fear, for those that are with us are more than with them." Right? And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open the eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike these people, I pray, with blindness." And he struck them with blindness according to the words of Elijah. So here is, you know, ye cannot lose here. You know, it's like, here's the Syrians, like amassing an army to arrest one man. But that, you see, they think they've got an army, but they don't realize there's a whole angelic army watching what they're doing. And they have no idea what's it. Listen, one angel killed 185,000 of Sennacherib's men, the Assyrian, when he came against Hezekiah in Jerusalem. Because God had an agreement with David, and he said, "I'll look after your sons and your descendants." And Hezekiah was a king at the time of Jerusalem in Assyria, in that area of Assyria, which is modern day Iraq. The Assyrians, the Babylonians and that, they came against Jerusalem. So what happened is God dispatched one angel, and he took out 185,000 of these Assyrians. Now, think about that. Now, think about the myriads that this young man is seeing. He gets his eyes open, and all the hills around are filled with chariots of fire. I have a friend called Kevin Purcell. He's well known in the gypsy community. He lives over in Ireland. His family are really naughty in Ireland, the Purcells. And when he got saved, he became a Christian. And his family were like driving by the house and taking pot shots, and they were trying to kill him, and that, you know, which is, you know, the way they're going on and that, you know. But where Kevin lives, he's got this, I've been to his house, he's got this like a small hole outside in Newry, and on the land it's really funny because he's got llamas and camels on his land. He's got a dancing camel, right? The camel dances to praise music, right? Really, really, honestly, he puts the tape on off, and the camel starts dancing to the praise music, right? So his brothers were trying to kill him in that, you know. And next to his house, there's a big mountain next to his house. So he goes up there to pray. When he wants to be with the Lord, he goes up the mountain to pray. So he's up the mountain this day, and the brothers are trying to kill him. And he was like, "Oh, Lord, I need help here." And as he sat up there, there was low-lying cloud over the top of the mountain out there. And he said, as he sat on top of the mountain, all of a sudden, this angel on horseback came straight through the cloud. And he said, "Look, I'm here to defend you and your family." And he says, "Davy, all I could see was myriads and myriads of these angels on horseback." See, God's watching over you to protect you. Because the Bible says that no weapon fashioned against you will prosper. Will prosper or can prosper. Right? We're serving an awesome God. So here's the king of Syria. And he's whispering things in secret. And the Lord's revealing them to Elijah. So he's getting all of the guy's secrets. Right? So you have a God who's watching over your interests. Right? And while the enemy might be plotting bad for you, you have a God who's plotting good things, and the enemy's just getting himself ready to shoot himself in the foot again. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, and I mean, sometimes you can say, oh, I'm having a heavy time, but beloved, sometimes God has to deal with you and deal with the things in you. And it's not the devil doing it. It's sometimes it's God doing it. Hallelujah. You know, people go to God and say, make us holy, Lord. Make us holy, Lord. So what happens? Hell gets unleashed against you. And every type of sin, every type of disgust and filthy thing pours into you. And you're like, oh God, this is, where is this coming from? What's going on here? And you say, well, you're asking us to make you holy. So to make you holy, I have to bring on holiness against you. You see, remember a man called Joseph? You see, he had a lovely fancy colour coat. Jason Donovan played him, and you know, like so. But there was, see, he was an arrogant young man, right? He was a blessed young man, but he was an arrogant young man. And he was God's chosen, but he had a load of stuff in him that means he couldn't even communicate properly with his own brothers. Because they would say, oh no, here's the nutter again. Well, what's he going to come up with now? Because he had the gift of prophecy. And he used to come out with prophetic words and visions and dreams. And they were sick to the back teeth of him. Because he was always coming out with something. It was like, oh no, here he is again. Quick, how you doing that? You know, you can imagine, for after about 20 odd years of this, they had enough and said, right, let's do him. And that was it, you know. And it was like, right, so they thought, right, we're going to top him. Right, fine. And they didn't like the fact that he was old Israel, his dad's favourite, because he was his dad's favourite. He was pampered, and you know, you can imagine him like sticking his fingers up and behind the back and all that to the brothers. So it got to the stage where the brothers had had enough and they said, right, he's getting done, simple as us. And they made plans to kill him. And then one of them piped up and said, oh no, let's not kill him, let's have him into slavery. He has the slave traders coming. And so they sold him to slavery. Now, can you imagine a pampered existence, right? A really pampered existence, to suddenly you're in chains and suddenly you're getting dragged off to a foreign country. And, you know, and it was like, you know, he went through all these horrific things, horrible things and that, you know, long time in jail, and he got accused of things he wasn't doing and all kinds of stuff. And I tell you what it is, that got himself out of himself. And Jesus said to me, you know, Davey, people say to me, people say, think that the real prize for Joseph was getting, becoming Prime Minister of Egypt. But he said, that wasn't the prize, he says, because Prime Ministers come every day. But he says, the thing, this is what the Lord said to me, I was sitting on the stage in the Nyayo Stadium in Kenya, and God was speaking this to us. And he said, Davey, the real thing that I did for Joseph was an eternal work inside of him. He made him precious. He got all the crap out of him, which took years, but he got it out of him. And then when God put his brothers back into his hands, he was able to forgive them. And until God's done surgery on my lives, because we are so quick to kick off. You know, it's like, yes, brother, I love you, brother. What did he say there? Like, come here. Yeah, sorry, Lord. And you're like, you know, but with Joseph, he was able to like say, I forgive him, and love. So what happens is, right, if you're going out to 90 on your growth scale at the moment, God will cut down the time. I think I'm getting there a little bit now. I think I am. I'm not as bad as, you know, I was, and you know, God's been gentler over the years, chopping it off. So you get to the state where you're not really that bothered about anything. And, you know, and it's like, Lord, I don't want any more tests on this one, please. So definitely thinking, right, Fatty, I'm watching you preach now. you're going to get... So something's going to happen in the next couple of days. And it'll be like somebody that cutting across us on the road. And it'll just be, and I'm just ready to hang out the window. And then it's like, God bless you, brother. And the Lord will say, right, you passed that test. And that, you know, or maybe it's like, you know, it can be something... We are nearest and dearest, or it can be something, you know what I mean? It's like, but God has to shave off them parts, you know? You know, and it's like, it's like, be honest with the Lord and say, Lord, I need help here. I need help. I need these things shaven off us. I need to get these things out of us, you know? Because otherwise, I'm not going to, he's preparing you for heaven. Do you know unforgiveness and things like that cancel out your contract? Unforgiveness. If you can't forgive others, God can't forgive you. So it's going to cancel out your agreement. Listen, beloved, I'm telling you, if you will not forgive, God cannot forgive you. Because that's what the Word of God says. So we've got to be wary about this thing called unforgiveness. The guy last week at Carlisle, he was crippled because of unforgiveness. The guy came in on his crutches, he with a leg brace on. I sat him on the floor and I said, right, what's going on here? And I was praying with him. And the Lord said, Davey, he's got unforgiveness. And I said, look, Anthony, is there somebody you're unforgiven towards? And he went, yes, it's my ex-partner. And he started to tell us a tale. And I said, right, okay. I said, well, look, you've got to try and forgive. Will you try and forgive them? Will you? God will give you the strength, but if you start the process by opening your mouth and say, I forgive, then that'll start home. Right, so he did. And then God said to us, right, Davey, tell him to stand up now. And he stood up. Some of you were there, it's on YouTube. And he walked without the crutches for the first time. And he said, Davey, I have no pain in my body for the first time in 3 years. And as I shared before, he rang us up he texted us a few days later and said, Davey, all my psoriasis has gone off my body. So it's good to do a mental check, like a stock take every now and then. Say, Lord, is anybody I'm being unforgiving towards? Get it out of you, you know. You didn't want it. It only brings sickness and harm. So this is what it is. Is Joseph, Jesus had to get, you know, all that stuff out of Joseph. But then he made an eternal issue. And that's what you're doing. And sometimes God gets to grips with people. Okay, right. God gets to grips with people and they start working on them. And then sometimes it's like they find it too much. You know, God's getting to grips with the deep issues. But what I'm saying is that what he's doing it is, he's shaping you and preparing you for heaven, for everlasting life. So he starts to shave the rough edges off. And that can be painful at times. But listen, just let the Lord do it. And that, you know. And God's seeing what you're going through. He goes through it with you. He stands with you. And what the enemy means for bad, God will turn for good. Right? He's not going to allow you to be lost. You might be hanging on the cliff with the edge of your fingernails. And that, you know. But God, if you will put you back on track. So, anyway, next story. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits, and it was width 6 cubits. He set it up in the place of Dura in the province of Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word together to gather the satraps, the ministers, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, who's who in the ministerial zoo, and all the officials of the province to come and to the dedication of this image. So he has King Nebuchadnezzar setting up this big golden image. And and they stood before the image Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And then a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into a fiery furnace. Right? So here's Nebuchadnezzar giving himself a large one, setting up this image of himself. And what they do, they've got these big, you know, I suppose it would have been like towers and like minarets and all that, like you see in on the mosques and things. And so at a certain hour of the day, the trumpet would blast and then all had to hit the deck and bow down to this gold image and that, you know. Now, so anyway, now at a certain time, Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree, and everyone who hears the sound of the horn, etc., shall fall down and worship. There are certain Jews who you have set over your affairs in the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due respect to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in a rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought the men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I set up? Now if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the harp, etc., but you do not worship it, you shall be cast immediately into a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hand?" Amen. Who is the God? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. The God whom we serve is able to deliver us. For the God whom we serve is to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you set up." Amen. That's faith. Hallelujah. Amen. So you can imagine right now, this is a big, massive fiery furnace, right? I mean, I'd have been like Bankside Power Station, you know, the big furnaces. And what happens is that they're going to throw them into the fire. And they're stood there, there's this whopping great furnace. And the king's saying, "If you don't do this, I'm going to sling you in there." And they said, "We are not going to do this. We're not going to worship you. We're not going to bow down to you. We serve the God of gods," you know? That's faith. That's standing your ground. And beloved, I tell you what it is we may be living in the days when one day when they come to chop your head off and they take you to the guillotine because you refuse to bow down. Listen, this is coming again. It's all through. If you've heard our teaching on the end times, when the wrath of God starts to come, when the tribulation comes, the Antichrist is going to set himself up in the temple. We just mentioned this before. Set himself up, and he's going to put an image of himself exactly the same and in the same place. Well, more or less the same place, you know. And he's going to ask to, you're going to have to bow down. Now, in that day, you can guarantee, brothers and sisters, well, that's where you're going to find out where your faith's at. Do you believe? Or will you get your head chopped off? Or will you take the mark of the beast? Because, you know, I pray to God that we are raptured before this happens. I would like to think we'd be raptured out of here before that. But if not, you know, we have to prepare. And we're going to have to stand our ground. We're going to have to stand our ground, beloved. So we've got to be sure of our faith. We've got to be sure of our relationship with God. That, you know, at the end of the day, it's like he'll save you. And so here are these three guys that are saying that we're not having it under any circumstances. You can do what you like with us in that. But, so they said, God will deliver us. So what happens? Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it's usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind them up and cast them into the fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their trousers and their turbans and other garments and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of fire killed the men who were taking Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the fiery furnace. So here they are getting put into the furnace. The men who put them in dropped down dead. But then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished as he rose in haste and spoke and said to his counselors, "Did we not cast 3 men into the midst of the fire?" And he answered and said, "O king, true, O king." But he said, "Look, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the 4th is like the Son of God." Hallelujah. So there was Jesus. Jesus in the fiery furnace with them. And they weren't hurt. They're walking about in there. Nebuchadnezzar jumps off his throne And it said that when they came out the fire, they didn't even have a smell of burning on them. They weren't singed in any kind of way. So, you know, I want to say to you here, no matter what you are going through at the moment, the Lord God who you serve will deliver you. Amen. Hallelujah. No matter what you get into, if you call on the name of the Lord, he'll save you out of it. Now, and that's having faith in that. Having faith in that, you know. And you've got to trust in God. No matter what you're going through, whether you're on the journey a little while, and that, you know, I mean, I've seen God save me from so many things, I've lost count, you know. But the thing is that I trust God in every single situation. How could we not? You know, I mean, Dorothy was there with us in the rocket attacks in Israel and that, when the 18 rockets come in from Lebanon, and God put his hand around her and protected us. And that, you know, stop the windows coming in on top of us. And even though my body lifted off the bed and was like, you know, God had his hand around us and protected us. So no matter what you go through, I want to say, yeah, listen, God delivered Noah from the flood. Right? God sent his angels to deliver Lot and his family from Sodom and Gomorrah. See, you know, God is going to deliver you. He delivered Moses and the Israelites from Pharaoh, from Egypt, from the Red Sea. When their backs were against the Red Sea and the way back, surrounded by mountains, Pharaoh's army chasing up the back of them, then out of the hands, totally out of the hands. And God said to Moses, right, stick your rod in, and then the Red Sea parts. You know, God gave David strength when he was a little boy to overpower lions and bears. It said David would sit on the hills of Israel singing psalms and songs to God. And it says he would chase bears and he would chase lions with his bare hands. God would give him a supernatural strength and put it in him. If you need supernatural strength, God will give you. Look at Samson. Amen. You know, God will put, it says he wrestled bears. You know, I mean, I didn't know anybody here wrestled a bear or a lion or sort of. I wouldn't recommend it. You know, off the lion park or Windsor Safari and jumping off and trying, you know, ripping your shirt off and like say, come on, you know, and start wrestling with the lions. But if you needed that strength at that time, listen, God, Adonai, Elohim, Jehovah, Jireh, will supply your need in that moment. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Give the Lord a round of applause. Jesus. Hallelujah. Whoa. So he gave David strength to wrestle bears. Then when the Philistine giant came, he done him with a stone and then cut his head off. But David had real faith. What did he say to the Israelite? You're getting done today, mister. This little lad standing there, this 9'6" bloke, I reckon he was. He was an offspring of Nephilim. Right? This 9'6" guy with a whacking great sword. The sword was bigger than David. Right? So he's standing there. And David's standing there with a slingshot in his hand, shouting, you're going to get done. I'm going to take your head off you. I'm going to cut your head off you, idiot. In the name of the Lord God. And he went and done it. You know what I mean? So God will deliver you from this situation. Amen. God delivered Daniel from the lion's den. God delivered Jonah from the belly of the great fish, the great whale, or whatever it was. Can you imagine that? 3 days inside of a fish and then spewed up on the beach because all for running away from God. Because that's what he was doing. He was running away from God. Say, oh Lord, the Lord said, I want you to go to Nineveh, which is in that direction. And he ran as fast as he could in that direction, down into the ship. They hide him overboard. The fish come and swallowed him. He was in the belly for 3 days. And God delivered him from that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, this is awesome stuff, isn't it? You know, God, what he will do for you, you know, what he'll do for him, he'll do for you. And so, I'm just trying to get my sink sorted here. Right. Come on. Modern science. The Lord your God is with you. He will never leave you and never forsake you. Right? So he delivered Jonah from the belly of the whale. God allowed the sun to stand still for a day. so Joshua could finish his battle with the Amorites. Right? There's like a whole day they were in the battle, and then Joshua commanded the sun to stand still, and it stayed in the same place. He commanded the sun to stand still and the moon to stand still. So for a whole day, scientists know there's a day missing, right? And that was this day when he stood there. See, he needed the sunlight to defeat them. And so God kept the sun there. Listen, he stopped the sun for one of his children, you know? So what more would he do for you? God sent his angel to kill 185,000 men. 185,000 Assyrians on behalf of Hezekiah, which we mentioned before. Amen. God sent angels to release Peter from an earthquake. He sent the angels when Peter was in jail in chains. He sent angels in the middle of the night and brought him out, walked him out. He does it today. He did it with Brother Yun in the Chinese underground when he was in that top security prison. Brother Yun, who was one of the leaders of the underground church in China, powerful man of God, they kept locking him up and he kept escaping. So they put him in the very maximum security prison in China, and he was in a prison within a prison, and he was in so one night he's in there and the Lord comes into the cell and said, Yun, you're going home. Now, at that moment, what happened was Brother Young's legs were smashed because they took sledgehammers to his legs to stop him escaping. But, you know, he wouldn't renounce his faith, so they smashed his legs with sledgehammers to stop him escaping. Jesus walked into the cell, but he healed, up he get. Doors started opening, one after the other, and he ended up walking out of the prison. You know? So it's like God is going to do anything on your behalf, any situation, right? There was a couple of missionaries who were friends of friends. They were on a little plane coming out of New Zealand and they hit an electrical storm. And what happened was, and I've got the photograph of this, Jesus come and got a hold of the plane by the wing and he set it down on the ground. Two old missionary wives, and they took a photograph out of the window of the plane, and Jesus came and set the plane down. I've got the photograph, and you can see Jesus' body and everything else on it, and that, you know. So if you'll send that in yours, right? I remember it was a runner in the genocide in Rwanda. He's an Olympic runner. Many years ago in Rwanda, in the genocide, they were burning villages. They were shooting people. They rounded the village up. And what they did was they stuffed all of these people into this little house. And then they set the house on fire. There was one young man there. God had a calling on his life. He started to pray in the midst of that time. The Lord said, get down on the floor quickly. He got down on the floor. The flames took over the house. And people started to drop dead round of him. And then God said, right, I want you to get up and I want you to run and jump through that window. And he got up and he ran and jumped through the window. He ran past all of these soldiers with their guns. They didn't see him. And he escaped, and today he gives his testimony in America, and he's an Olympic runner. And that God was there for him in that situation. Hallelujah. Right, what about the Hudson Bay? Who can you remember that plane that come down the River Hudson? Can you remember the River Hudson in New York? When the plane came down? The man at the wheel was a Christian man, Captain Schellenberger. And do you know what this man had done? He'd been a pilot for 40 years. He'd been one of the men who'd he'd been an advisor to NASA, right? This was a man who had many years of experience. And do you know what his hobby was? Flying gliders. Flying gliders was his hobby. So when that engine's cut out because the birds flew into the engines, there is nobody on earth, really, that you would have wanted who was more qualified to fly that jumbo, that Boeing 747, massive plane, who was more qualified to fly it without any engines. And he set it down on the water, which you saw on the news. And even the newspapers in New York said, the miracle on 34th Street, the miracle that's happened, because it was important. Nobody was hurt. So God had prepared that to happen. No matter what situation you're in, I have been on planes where they've been zoom coming doing, and God has got his hand on the plane. I know what it's like to be in that situation, you know, and I give thanks to the Lord God who delivered me from a 15-year drug addiction, a 20-year alcohol addiction, and a life of crime and violence. That God watches over you like he watches over me. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. 2 Samuel 14:14 says that God sits in heaven devising schemes to bring sinners to himself. He's always got his eyes on you. You cannot be so, you know, I want to say the devil can huff and puff, but he cannot blow this house down. Because this house is filled. This house is built on the rock. Amen. Or we're built on the rock. You know what I mean? Praise God. I want to encourage you that God has got great plans ahead for you. He never created you to be a loser. He created you to be a winner. Listen, the world has got nothing. If you look to the world for answers, you're going to miss everything. There's nothing there, man. Nothing whatsoever. I don't care about the world's opinions. I don't care about what Satan has to offer. Satan's coming off on me all kinds of things. And I want none of it. None of it. I'm not interested. Not interested. Because these things are perishing and passing away. Time is getting short. I remember when I was in Sri Lanka on the day of the week before the tsunami. I remember walking along the beach, looking at the big beach houses, and you know, along there, and people were, Dougie had taken people out. The Lord had said, get thousands of tracks printed, so we had thousands of tracks printed, and Dougie took a lad suit in, you know, handing a tracksuit everywhere and that. And I remember walking along the beach and that, and people were so secure in their lives. I'm settled. I don't need God. I've got all this money. I've got all this sort of thing. I've got everything. Look at me big house. Look at this. And everything got lost. Their lives, the house, the property. Within a week, they lost everything. Everything. You know, it says the wages of sin is death. Wages of sin is death. So it's like, what's happening is that we'll have a God who loves you. We'll have the angels who are around you, that help you, protect you, support you. And that, you know, and God wants you to achieve great things. But to achieve great things, you've got to be hearing God. And you've got to be listening. It's not, you cannot have like a lukewarm walk with God. A lukewarm walk with God. God says, I will spit you out of my mouth. Spit you out of my mouth. You should be seeking God like you've never sought him before. Because you may think, oh, I'm comfortable, I'm all right. I'm, you know, I can have a bit of this. But I tell you, it can be gone like that. Gone like that. And he stood there and it's like, you fool. You fool. You know, it's really important that we're spending that personal time with God. Because it's no good, you know, after the rapture, maybe say I'm gone in the rapture. Maybe I'm gone. And it's like, where's Brother Davey gone? I'll be sitting up in heaven saying, why aren't you here with me? What I'm saying is that get close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because no man knows the day or the hour. You know, there's not that much Bible prophecy, practically nothing to be fulfilled really, before the end time prophecies start unfolding. There's very little. In fact, we could go any time. I know there's certain things, you know, there's the whole back end of the wrath of God and everything else and that. But if Jesus came for his church today, would he be ready? And what I say to people is expect to be raptured, but prepare as though you were going to go through the tribulation. Prepare, because you may well. So the thing is that, you know, it's getting close to God, but understanding that he's watching over you, he's never going to allow the devil to overpower you, because he's there with you to protect you. Father, I just want to thank you for your word. Your word never returns void, but goes forth and accomplishes that which you sent it. Beloved Jesus, I pray, Lord, that we would have that trust in you to know, we would have that trust to know you as our Lord, our Savior, but as our friend, as our guide, as our provider. Provider, Lord. As our protector, as our friend, Lord, I pray tonight you will inspire us. Inspire us. Help us just to keep walking that path that you have prepared for us, Lord. Not looking to the left, not looking to the right. Fixing my eyes on you, God. Fixing my eyes on the way ahead, the road ahead, the path that you prepare for us, Lord. I'm not interested in theories and theologies. I know the truth. I know you, Lord, as my friend, as my guide, as my saviour. And that, Lord, just help me to fix my eyes on you and on your plans, Lord. Father, it's not a game we're playing. It's serious. It's life. It's life. And Lord, help us where we are at. Help us to be overcomers, Lord. Help us to overcome every dark situation. Give us the strength. Give us the anointing. Give us the power. Father, the Apostle Paul says, I did not come with wise or persuasive words, but with demonstrations of power. And that, Lord, I pray tonight that we would decrease, that you would increase in us, Lord. Every one of us special, God. Everyone's special. Lord, you rejoice over us, Lord. And that we cannot change ourselves, Lord, but it's you who change us. You are the potter. We are the clay. We're not going to roll ourselves ragged, trying to change ourselves when we cannot do it. The grace is a gift from God. And what we have the grace of God. And that, Lord Jesus, I pray that, Lord, you would finish that work that you started in us. Because it says, one day we shall be like you. Give us the strength to keep doing what's right and to walk the path. Help us to be obedient children, Lord. Help us to submit and yield ourselves to you so that we may finish this race with excellence. Run your race, it says, with excellence, endurance, for we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Father, I just pray for the fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit on us tonight, for your love tonight. And we're going to have a time of ministry in a moment. We're going to sing a couple of worship songs and then ask the Holy Spirit to just come and do in us what we need to be doing. This is a life walk that we're doing with God. He changes things bit by bit by bit. And I pray to the Lord God who changes us from glory unto glory unto glory unto glory, that his Holy Spirit would be in us and around us, Lord. Change us, soak us, saturate us, Lord. Light of the world.